This is The Oddcast.
Now that football season has ended, it's time to kick back, relax, and bring a little class and culture back to The Oddcast. Whereas before, we just discussed the art of blowing a 25-point lead in the Super Bowl, now we're going to actually discuss the arts and the drama and all sorts of stuff that, admittedly, we do not know a lot about. Matt and I spent pretty much the last 4 months solely focused on football. And so, for the upcoming Oscars, we have no idea what we're talking about. And yet, that almost seems perfect in today's society, because you don't need to be an expert on something to talk at long at it, or even get a high-ranking job in such a field.
Pronounce them as facts.
Exactly. So we're going to rely on our complete lack of knowledge of the incoming Oscar films, and yet we're still going to make picks. Does that sound pretty good, Matt? Does that sound like a really genius idea?
Yeah, it does. And I mean, to be honest, up until then, I was curious as to why I even got invited for this show. I know nothing about the majority of these movies, but now knowing that you don't either, you just didn't want to be the only jerk on here talking about things you don't know.
Yeah, if you have an entire cabinet of fools, it just... you don't really stand out.
No.
But it doesn't seem right to the listening audience to go in this completely blind. So we are going to rely on the help of an expert. We brought him in. We did this last year, and I had a blast. I don't care if the listeners did. I enjoyed it, so we're doing it again. So we have Trevor Duick, our SBD's entertainment and pretty much all non-sport things you write about. And wrestling, I guess, is a sport. I don't know where we are in wrestling. But yeah. You're an expert of all sorts of things, and you've seen, what, pretty much all these movies, right?
Almost. Yeah, some of the foreign films I'm still getting around to.
But, like, that's something you seek out?
Yeah, well, because I work as a, you know, film critic as well. I do some freelance there, and so you're kind of having to go to these movies on a weekly basis. So, yeah, I've seen most of the major films, but some of the obscure ones I'm still getting around to.
That just seems crazy. Like, that's, I guess... I mean, all movies are shorter than a football game, so it shouldn't seem like that big of a...
You watch two movies for every one football game you watch.
But, like, movies are longer now, and it's such an emotional commitment to, like... Like, that's why I'll rewatch Happy Gilmore before, like, taking a chance on a movie that I might not like.
Go back to that well, eh?
Exactly.
I know I won't have a bad time watching it.
Exactly. So, what are we looking at with this year's kind of crop? Are there a lot of Happy Gilmores that we're going to rewatch for years? Or is it that typical, like...
Little Nicky that I... sticking with Adam Sandler.
Yeah, putting it in perspective, we understand. Like, how many of these, like, are just good now? And how many you think are actually, like...
We'll stand the test of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a couple. I mean, this year, though, at the Oscars, they're really banging the diversity drum.
Right.
Because you remember last year
was so white.
It was.
Like Woody Allen white. And this year is, what, like Justin Timberlake white, where it's, like, cooler and more acceptable?
No, they're actually going to bring on people of different ethnicities. And I think mostly with the Academy, it fell on their lap. I mean, there's been so many great films this year that star, whether, you know, Americans who happen to be black or some who happen to be brown. And it's just, it's a big mix of different ethnicities that really, honestly, I really hope the focus is not on that. I just hope it's just that it's great movies and they should be honored. So
if it was just like best movie wins... that would be awesome, but it never is, right? It's always, like, a little...
political?
Yeah, scratch my back and whatnot, so...
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to make these predictions even harder, because I don't know any of that stuff.
I didn't really know it existed, so...
Yeah, well, with the diversity thing being such a big thing, you know, the Academy's going to want to... You know, I said in my write-up, basically, you know, walk a few of the black actors across the stage and say, hey, look, we've got black friends, see? We're not racist. That's basically what it's going to be this year. So you have to weigh that out a little bit, unfortunately, heavy when you look at the odds and pick who is going to win. But, I mean, most of the candidates, well, pretty much all of them are, you know, have a chance or at least are, you know, good enough to win. So it doesn't really have anything to do with skin color.
Right on. I just kind of looked over the odds briefly, and one thing that jumped out at me, we're eventually going to get to most of the awards, but I want to start here because it's so friggin' weird. it's right in front of me. Odds to win Best Actor. At this point in time, betting sites are putting the odds on favorite as Casey Affleck.
Yeah.
And the last time I saw Casey Affleck, he was a wacky sidekick. So when did he go from, like, a Seth Green character to, like, respectable? And did I miss that? Or did this just happen? Did he just become a good actor?
Well, it's good to have a brother who, you know, does quite well in the film business, as well as some friends like Matt Damon and stuff like that. Yeah, you know what? Over the years, he's become, he's always been a good actor. Over the years, he's taken on some really great roles. And, you know, Manchester by the Sea is a movie that a lot of critics are talking about and saying that he was really the focal part of that film and probably had the best performance of the year. So there's a lot to be said for that. And now when you get nominated for an Oscar, you get to pretty much after this point get to pick and choose what kind of scripts you want to do.
Right. It's a game changer, right? You go from Jonah Hill being Seth Rogen's schlubby little friend to, like, he gets to do whatever he wants.
Wolf of Wall Street.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah, it all depends on what you do and how well you do it. But Casey Affleck's definitely deserving of being the favorite to win for Best Lead Actor this year.
Which Manchester is it? Is it Manchester, England, or Manchester, shitty New Hampshire?
It's Boston. Manchester by the Sea is an actual place just outside of Boston. And
It's an Affleck. I guess we should have guessed it.
Yeah, exactly. Any kind of Boston drama, there's going to be either a Wahlberg, an Affleck, or a Damon. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of all the Boston movies that have had an Affleck in it now.
I mean,
The Town was a Boston, Boston flick.
Oh, what was the one that came out this year about the bombing?
Oh, the
Patriot thing. Yeah.
Patriot's Day.
And that's conspicuously absent.
Not a bad movie, but it just that had Mark. I mean, the worst part of Patriot's Day was actually Mark Wahlberg. Everything else around him was great. Well, because he kept playing the same. He played a police officer who showed up to all the different parts in the film just as it was happening. So just as the terrorists are, you know, blowing something up, he's there. Just when the guy gets out of the car and runs to the gas station, he shows up to the gas station. He's always in the right place at the right time. It's a fictional character. It's it's a true story, but he plays a fictional character. But it was just really annoying. And he was a little over the top with everything because he was trying to get an Oscar nomination for it. So he didn't get it.
What a shame.
Yeah.
We really miss him on this list.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty much a two-horse race, but we'll say the other three names because they made it this far. Good for them. Ryan Gosling.
Good Canadian kid.
Good job.
Yeah.
Former Spider-Man, Andrew Garfield.
Yep.
And then Viggo Mortensen, whose name I've heard.
Lord of the Rings?
Which one?
Return of the King.
Which character?
He played the king.
Oh! What's his name? Black hair.
Yeah.
Screws the elf.
Yeah, name? There you go.
Okay, that guy. Yeah, all right. I know his work then. Good job. What's his... Captain Fantastic. That's this movie. That sounds like a superhero movie, but it's probably not.
No. It's about a guy who raises his kids in the Pacific Northwest in the forest. They don't go to school or anything. They just live off the land.
Hmm.
That's it.
Couldn't be any worse than a superhero movie. They are getting it overdone at this point. But, I mean, Deadpool, I guess, was almost nominated. So.
It got some Golden Globe love, just didn't get the Oscar love.
It's like one of the few newer movies I've seen, actually.
Yeah, and it kind of fits better that it didn't get up for anything, because then it keeps my complete lack of knowledge
intact.
I'll
say this. I mean, I'm impressed with some of these questions that you've had.
Well,
I can't even formulate them.
You're here for the pithy comments. I need you to step it up, Casey Affleck.
Sorry, apologies.
and then the other... So it's Affleck and our boy Denzel is up for...
Fences.
Which is...
A Broadway play that he actually did with Viola Davis, and they made it into a film. And it's a character piece, quite a boring film, to be honest.
Is it about when you set out to build a wall separating you from Mexicans, but then you have to make sacrifices?
No, they haven't come out with that one yet, but coming pretty soon, I heard. it's about a father who's too hard on his athletic son, a very competitive family,
and the dynamics between the wife and him and his son. And it's boring as hell. Good performances.
Yeah. So, like, he's won one or two.
He's won, I believe, two Oscars.
One for Training Day.
Yeah.
Where does this rank for a Denzel performance? Is it?
Like, I don't know. I liked him in Training Day.
Yeah.
I mean, he was great in this film just because he's done the role so many times. So he's good, and I don't see him beating out Affleck. I know a lot of people still think that he's got an outside chance. I just think it's Casey Affleck's award to lose.
But, like, would it be a response to, like, Oscars white if Zell wins, or is it just, like...
I don't know. I think if they... Well, no, that's a good question, because if the awards are going to get a little bit political, they'll probably look at some of the other, like, best supporting actress and best supporting actor to get their diversity award in there. Because at the same time, they still have to be, you know... It still has to be taken seriously as an award show that gives the awards the best performances. And I know it's art, you know, to judge art is crazy. You know, everyone has their opinion.
Yeah.
But there are favorites as we look at these for a reason, right?
Yeah.
And it's mainly based on experts and what experts have been saying and what their performances were. So.
But it just seems like sometimes you get a winner where, like, in the moment it seems like, all right, that worked. And then, like, you look back on it, like, 10 years later, like, someone will be, like, researching, and you'll be looking back and be like, oh, God, that person won? Like, it just seems weird because, like, I don't know what Casey Affleck's going to do after this. But, like, right now, it feels like I'm going to put this back in football terms because that's where we operate. But, like, it's like Brian Sipe winning the MVP. It's like he has, like, a really good year. And it's like, yeah, he earned it. But then, like, you look back through history and you're like a Browns quarterback that wasn't Bernie Kosar won MVP, and it stands out, and it's weird. So I wonder, like, yeah, like, is Zell winning another one, even if it's not like his best movie, just seems right.
Yeah,
and I don't know.
Bat an eyelash.
Yeah,
looking back on it.
But yeah, I don't know. I didn't even know Casey Affleck was good. So I'm speaking from a point of ignorance.
This is the last movie he's done prior to this. What did he do leading up to
Zell or
Casey Affleck?
Oh God, he's done so many. He did a movie with Chris Pine where they were trapped out at sea. I'm drawing a blank.
Manchester in the Sea?
No, not Manchester in the Sea. I'll remember in a minute, but yeah, he's done a bunch of different,
like, was this, like, slowly leading up to this big role, or did he just really take
over the years, he's done some great work,
yeah.
And, you know, usually always as a supporting actor,
yeah,
and, you know, I know Matt Damon was really pushing hard, to get this film made, and he was actually going to star in it, but, you know, was too busy, and so said, you know, hey, I'd like my friend Casey Affleck to be in this movie. He's a talented actor, could do the role justice, and, yeah, they casted him in the role and knocked it out of the park. It's a depressing film. It has some funniness to it, for sure, and there's some hockey in it for sports guys.
Oh, right, well...
Yeah. It's in Boston.
The Boston guys, yeah, they try and work that in,
yeah,
as best they can. Didn't they have that in the town too?
Yeah. Or no, they had some Red Sox.
One of the ones, they're a former hockey player, and they're all beat.
They all got it.
Actually, yeah. I might be thinking of Four Brothers.
Yeah. I'm seeing here on IMDb that the last movie with Affleck was Interstellar. 2014?
The Finest Hours?
The Finest Hours. There we go.
Did that come out after Manchester by the Sea?
No, that came out
before. Was it?
Yeah, right around the same time.
It's weird how you can do that.
Yeah, he had three movies this year. Triple Nine.
Triple Nine. There's the other one.
The Finest Hours and Manchester by the Sea all came out in 2016.
And Triple Nine, he was very good in that. And in The Hours, both pretty much supporting roles. So
if you're given a recommendation for a bet on this, because let's be honest, if you're like us, you just want to bet this. Like, if you're going to watch it because we're free on Sundays now and it's a long, boring awards show, you got to have action on it. Who do you take?
For best actor?
Yeah.
I'd stick with Casey Affleck. You know, the outside chances would go to Denzel Washington and Ryan Gosling.
you know, those could be value.
Value on Gosling.
Yeah, because La La Land, you know, with 14 nominations, ran through the Golden Globes with the record amount of awards. It could translate and that momentum could continue at the Oscars. So as much as I love Casey Affleck's performance and Denzel Washington, Ryan Gosling, I think, is your value bet, or at least is somebody on the outside who could win it, because it could be just a love fest.
Is the Golden Globes, I might have to see this last year, but yeah, yeah, whatever, we're doing again. Is it a good predictor of the Oscars, or do they try and like separate themselves? They're like, that's the one where people get drunk and have fun.
That's the one where the people get drunk and have fun. This year, though, was a little bit different. They took themselves a little more seriously. They didn't have like the Martian in the comedy category that they did a couple years ago. And so they got a little more serious this year. So you could probably say that it's a good gauge of where the Academy could go, but for Golden Globes, it's just a bunch of critics, a bunch of stoner critics who pretty much vote on those things, and then the Academy is a whole different beast of old crotchety white guys.
What, let's do all the actor ones now while we got them nearby. Mm-hmm. So we'll go back to supporting then, because...
Supporting actor?
Yeah, who's up for that?
Mahershala Ali.
I was not going to be able to pronounce that name.
Mahershala, so. Actually, Ali, yeah. Jeff Bridges, Dev Patel, Lucas Hedges, and Michael Shannon.
So I only know Jeff Bridges.
You know?
Personally, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I guess we back to the bowling alleys days. Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah, like I don't recognize any of these. Maybe Dev Patel? Was he? I may have seen him in a thing. What's he been in?
I know he was a child actor, so he was in some things.
Mostly
Indian films.
I can pull up IMDb here.
Fantastic.
He did The Man Who Knew Infinity.
Yeah.
2015. He did Chappie in 2015.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
The second best exotic Marigold
Hotel. Oh, no, wait. What am I thinking of? I'm thinking of the... What's the Budapest? No.
Yeah.
I think I thought he was the guy in Grand Budapest.
The Last Airbender?
Nope. All right. So yeah, maybe I don't know.
He's in Slumdog Millionaire.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah. Right. That's the one I was trying to remember.
There we go.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's got an outside chance of winning for Best Supporting Actor. But I think it's going to go to Mahershala Ali, just because I think this is where you're... Well, A, his performance is fantastic. If you haven't seen Moonlight, such a good movie. Such a great coming-of-age film, and just a nice slow burn, very interesting. And it deals with race, and it deals... Because it's, you know, the diversity is going to be heavy this year, I think he's, A, deserving of winning Best Supporting Actor, but also this is where you're going to see a Afro-American... win an award.
What's Moonlight about? It's just like...
It's about this guy who you see in three different stages of his life, and sort of the bullying he goes through when he's a kid, because he's black, but he's very kind of flamboyant, and as he gets older, he has a relationship with a good friend of his, which was a guy, and it could be considered that he's got, you know, real romantic feelings towards him. And as the film moves along, we get a little bit more information about his life as he gets older. And it kind of gives three different points of view of his different ages and different stages of his life. It's I don't do the film justice by explaining it. It's a character piece, because it's very good story. But it's very much focused on Mahershala Ali's character. And it's very good, dude. Powerful film.
Do they tell it out of order, like a Tarantino style, or like, is it linear?
It's linear.
Bah, boring.
Yeah.
Question for you here, like before we get too much further into this, when you're giving us your picks here, I'm just curious, are you going with what you think is going to happen, or like how much are you giving us like what you prefer, like your own personal opinion? Because I know earlier you also said, obviously, very opinionated, the arts are very opinionated.
Yeah.
So these things here, like...
It's a combination of what I like, as well as what I've read and what other experts are leaning towards. Because when I write these up, I can't... If I just did who I liked, then they would be significantly different. Like, for instance... I don't know if Viola Davis would be a favorite in my own world. I would think Michelle Williams would probably win. Amy Adams is completely snubbed. She was an arrival, and she had one of the best performances of the year, but they didn't put her in for Best Supporting Actress. But, you know, I'm also going out, and I'm looking at what other people are saying, and so I'm creating out the odds, just like what you guys do.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of the ones we've talked about now, Best Picture and Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor?
We haven't really done Best Picture, but...
Sorry.
Yeah.
Best actor, best supporting actor.
Supporting. Yeah. Are there any that stand out in your opinion that stand out? to you?
In my opinion,
your opinion.
Like, if I was giving out the award for best supporting actor,
the Trevor.
Yeah, the Trevor Award for that, I would probably give it to Jeff Bridges because I really loved Hell or High Water. And he's the dude.
Yeah,
you know, but he's very good in that, and he's actually quite funny in it. And I thought it was one of the better performances this year. I just don't think it's going to go to him.
Is it a cowboy movie? Sounds like a cowboy
movie. Yeah, there's some cowboys in it. Yeah, it's a modern day Western, actually.
I think I remember seeing that. Yeah,
you guys would like it. It's got some action in it.
Yeah,
it's not slow moving. It's not artsy. It's very about dudes robbing banks.
Are you suggesting we can't enjoy a nice?
Well, you haven't yet. I'm just waiting. But yeah, Hell or High Water was such a good movie. So I would give it to Jeff Bridges, but the diversity is probably going to win the day, either for Dev Patel or Mahershala Ali. It's probably going to win for Best Supporting Actor.
I'm going against the grain because it clearly doesn't matter what I think. Jeff Bridges for the win.
What are you doing?
Are we, because I mean,
we could just throw our picks in.
We didn't give actor, did we? Actor's kind of a runaway.
I'm jumping on Denzel. The Denzel.
Yeah.
Train. I'm going with guys I know.
For actor.
Proven commodities.
For actor, I'll take a favorite. I'll take Casey Affleck.
Boo.
Wins. But here, I'm actually going to. I'm gonna go Dev Patel in line.
So no consensus.
No.
Does not matter nearly as much as our football picks, where consensus never worked. All right. Well, we kind of mentioned supporting actors too, and Viola Davis, and I heard that she's not really a supporting actress in that movie so much as she is just an actress.
Yeah, well, it's just pretty much focused on Denzel and Viola Davis's character. They're both lead actors in the play and in the film. So, they had to put her somewhere. And I guess what happens with these things is that, you know, studios, they like to, you know, posture. And, things go on behind the scenes. They probably felt Viola Davis has a better chance of winning an Oscar in the Best Supporting Actress category than, say, Best Actress category, where she's up against, you know, some heavy hitters like Emma Stone and Natalie Portman.
So, I mean, we'll get to that in a bit.
Yeah.
Emma Stone's a heavy hitter, too. Things have changed.
Oh, she's pretty.
No, Dad, last thing I think I saw her in was Spider-Man.
Half the cast of Superbad has been up for, like...
I know.
Like, yeah. Next year, Michael Cera for Best Supporting Actor.
Very, very underrated film.
I can't believe it. But yes, she's just going to clean the floor with this one, right?
I don't know. Michelle Williams has got a chance. Now, she's legitimately Best Supporting Actress, because in Manchester by the Sea, I think she was on screen for a total of, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Some powerful scenes, but, definitely supporting. But I wouldn't rule out Naomi Harris as well for Moonlight. I just think Moonlight's going to cash in. It's been nominated for 8 Oscars. I think it's going to cash in more than once. And because I know critics really love that movie. So Naomi Harris has got an outside chance in this. Outside of that, really, honestly, I think it's a, no offense to them. I don't want to call them horses, but it's a 3-horse race between Davis, Williams, and Harris. Yeah. So basically, if you're going to bet, just go with the prettiest name. Yeah. Viola Davis.
But I guess that's subjective, too, though. They're all pretty nice sounding. Yeah. Naomi.
Yeah, that's true.
That seems like the right call based on the limited. I've seen trailers for it.
Yeah,
she looks sad. She looks like. Is she How to Get Away with Murder? Is that her?
Yeah.
So which one? Sorry.
Viola Davis.
Viola Davis. She's the one. Okay.
Yeah, she does TV, lots of films. She's very talented.
I guess she wouldn't be up for this if she wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Just like we wouldn't be picking these if we weren't very talented.
Excellent.
At that.
Excellent deduction.
Yes.
Deep.
All right. Let's clean out these actor things and
best actress.
They have Emma Stone running away with it. That's odd. You have. We're gonna include a link to Trevor's odds that he did for us. And him and the bookmakers have differing opinions on some of these. You don't think Emma Stone's running away with it.
Why not?
I just think there's been a bit of backlash towards La La Land over the last little while. I think that if this was the Golden Globes or, Critic Choice Awards or whatever, then Emma Stone's probably going to win. But I still think Natalie Portman had a better performance. And Isabel Huppert, she won the Golden Globe for Best Actress. And so, you have to kind of put her in contention here as well. You know, I'm still sticking with Emma Stone to win it. I just don't think, I just think the bookies are a little, I think they're just, I understand why they're making her the huge favorite.
Yeah.
But I don't know. If you're going to bet here, I would probably put some money down on Portman or Isabelle Huppert.
So, like, Meryl Streep's up for this award.
Oh, I know. I didn't want to bring him up to you guys. You don't like her.
Well, doesn't she always win?
She does. She could be in the bathroom, you know, taking a crap and someone could film it.
Yeah.
And she would win for best short.
So, like, why is she not, like, she's going off at crazy long odds.
Oh, she wasn't very good. I mean, the movie wasn't that great. 20th Century Women was okay. It was an okay performance by her, but anything that she's in every year, they're going to put her in the category.
Oh, it's just like, You're always nominated, even if like you just had like a cameo.
That's
like,
just what it seems like. I mean, and she has no. I would be absolutely shocked if she pulled out the upset for best actress, and then she could go do another speech on how football is not art.
I was gonna say, is that why you're saying we don't like her?
You probably don't like her. Yeah.
I mean, I heard about that on Twitter. I never actually watched the speech. So.
I saw the speech, and I really think her whole point would have been better. Like, it would have gotten through a little better if she just left that part out. Like, that kind of, you know, that obviously offended people. I'm not offended by it.
I didn't think it was offensive.
But some people are going to be offended by it, and some people are going to only remember that.
Yeah,
from
she's backtracked since then, though, on that. But I mean, she's kind of being, you know.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of people, though, because, you know, her taking that stand, I don't want to get too political here, but who's the actor who's, like, a convicted child rapist?
Oh, director.
Director.
Yeah. I know what you're saying.
And she was standing, clapping, when he won that award that he couldn't even be there for because he's not allowed on American...
He's not allowed on American soil.
Soil.
Yeah.
So I know a lot of people were really
kind of hypocritical.
Yeah,
to
put
sure.
down to put down Trump for what he's doing.
When your buddy's with the, you know, a child rapist,
convicted. Yeah. Right.
Like, oh. These are things I have really not heard about.
The only reason I know that is because I've spent a little too much attention.
Is he nominated this year?
Who's,
no,
it's a big name. Like,
no,
I even recognize the director's name.
You
good.
Look it up because I'm bad with names off the top of my head, but. Yeah, I don't see...
Roman Polanski.
Thank you very much. How did I not remember that? Yes.
It's funny. Every time I see the name, I think of the one who did... who's the guy who did Blue Mountain? It looks so familiar.
Oh,
to
Chris... no, that's the safety for the Bears. But yeah, like...
the guy who did Blue Mountain State.
Yeah.
When I saw that name...
Romanski.
I thought of him, and then I'm like, what? I thought I could make the child be best. But yeah, Roman Polanski. I forget what he won.
Well,
you would know better.
If we know his name, he probably won like a few things because apparently he's good.
He couldn't be at the award show because he's not allowed on American soil. And Meryl Streep was like standing ovation. All of like everyone was standing, right?
Yeah.
And so a lot of people were just, you know, it's very hypocritical for like her message was basically Hollywood needs to you know, take on a bigger role right now with the leadership that the country is under, and Hollywood needs to make sure that it stays, everything stays right.
Well, left, in their case. Yeah. I mean, they're a bunch of, you know, there's some serious liberals within the industry that, bleeding heart liberals who just, you know, gotta fight everything, so.
All I can say on Meryl Streep is, I watched Devil Wears Prada on a flight once, and it wasn't bad. She was pretty good at it.
Yeah. No, she's a fantastic actress. I just don't think she's going to win it this year. I you know, Emma Stone, Natalie Portman, or Isabelle Huppert would be my pick. Probably going to go with Emma Stone. Safe bet.
Yeah, seems like.
This is where you make your safe bet play.
Yeah. Plus, like, I don't mind her.
Especially if you're going to do a parlay.
Yeah.
You always have your safe bets with your couple.
That's
you
true.
Know.
Like Emma Stone here, she was an Easy A.
Yeah, and that was on TV the other weekend. You IMDb-ing her now?
That is correct. I am doing
to see what joy she's brought in your life? All right.
Yeah.
She's
been in a lot,
job.
Right? She's in The Interview.
Was she? That's the...
Apparently, the whole North Korea...
Yeah, movie, I don't remember.
Right?
Her.
Apparently, she was uncredited in it.
Oh, well, that's
like we said, the amazing...
If you're uncredited, why do they put you on IMDb?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
The first amazing...
This was something I want to talk about, too.
Yeah.
All right. So... I think the most, like, one of the most critically accepted pop culture things that happened in the last year was Atlanta by Donald Glover. Like, that's something I've actually seen and liked. Why can't that be up for an Oscar if friggin' OJ Made in America can be up for an Oscar? That was a made-for-TV documentary. How is that? How did that get in the documentary category?
Well, it's not really made for...
Well, it was a 30 for 30, which pretty much solely runs on ESPN.
No. OJ Made in America, the documentary, the actual full length, which is like super
7 hours.
Long.
Yeah.
Yeah, is you can pick up as a film. So it's considered a feature film. Atlanta's what, a comedy television show?
But I was just thinking, like, if you could just... If you could squeeze...
You would just throw that
TV
in there?
TV shows. Well, yeah. Just, like, show it at a theater in, like, Tulsa, Oklahoma and be like, it's a movie. And then you could win Best Picture.
Sound strategy.
I haven't seen this OJ Made in America.
It's really...
What was different about this one than all the other OJ?
Well, because it's, like, 7 hours long, they actually get into every detail.
Pretty in depth.
There's some...
Yeah.
Like, what new things did we find out that we didn't know before?
OJ, one of his... like advisors told him to stop taking his arthritis medicine so his hands would balloon up so he couldn't fit the glove on. That was something I had never heard before.
How did we learn that?
He's just talking to, like, he just talked to, like, anybody who ever had contact with him in that period.
Oh, the guy doing the documentary just
Yeah.
So it's going off word of people that knew him.
Yeah, and like, and it gets everybody's side, like Marcia Clark and guys and what he grew up with. It's really well did, but
Yeah, the Marcia Clark stuff is really good, too.
Yeah. So long. That would be insane to sit through that in a theater. You would miss so much for people.
No, that's one for home.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Overextended amount.
It's actually 7 hours?
They released it in five parts, and they were all like hour and a half, so...
Yeah, it was pretty long.
Yeah. Wow. But that one's going to win, right? Is that...
For Best Documentary, that's a tough one to call this year. Usually it was a lot easier. I have OJ Made in America as a favorite. But 13th, which I just saw, is another really good documentary. Not 7 hours long. So, you know, just
it's
over,
got that going for
just
it.
Over an hour, actually. Oh. It's on Netflix.
I think I have seen
and,
it. Seen
yeah, it's about the American prison system.
Yes. I have seen it.
Yeah, it's eye-opening.
The overrepresentation of African-Americans in prison.
Yeah.
Very good movie. I really enjoyed that.
How they abolished slavery in the United States, but then figured out a different way of getting...
making them slaves again.
Yeah, slaves again.
Putting them in jail and...
Working.
Where's it
so they
work
for free.
What's it called? 13th.
13th Amendment.
Yes, 13th Amendment, right?
Yeah.
What is the 13th Amendment?
Good question.
It's slavery, isn't it?
Yeah, it's about slavery. Yeah.
It's,
but I don't know what word for word I'm bad.
it's basically no one can own another person.
So, yeah, good movie.
Let's talk more with that one. I know that one.
Give us your takes. Yeah, can it knock off a 7-hour documentary about one of the most famous people in American history?
Something that's been done over and over again.
No, I think OJ Made in America has got a really good chance of winning. If you look at the first three films and Best Documentary, again, all about African-American people and politics. And so, again, diversity is going to win the day, mostly because they deserve it. So, yeah, I'd go with OJ in this case. But 13th's got an outside shot.
And
I'm going to go 13th. It's one that I've seen.
It has the Matt stamp of approval, so it's got that going.
It's really good. It's really good. Yeah. I would strongly recommend it. Yeah, they trust that one. It's on Netflix.
Yeah, not too long either.
To go. No, it was. I think an hour and a half or so.
No, oh, yeah. Not even. I think it was an hour 15.
Watch that at lunch. Today I watched a documentary about the Fog Bowl between the Bears and Eagles. So I have that kind of time.
I noticed you have a lot of docs on you while you're working. Actually, I noticed that. Yeah.
I'm always learning. I'm always learning. Just not about this topic. Not about... Things that could be useful.
African-Americans being charged for petty crimes and being thrown in prison and forced to work.
Sure, John Oliver's done a thing on that.
Yeah.
Well, it's big business.
So, this is one. We'll go down to right below it, Best Foreign Language. Have you seen these? You haven't seen these.
I've only seen a couple. I've seen Tony Erdman and I've seen A Man Called Ove. And Tony Erdman's pretty much going to win this. I don't see anybody else coming close. It'd be an upset if it doesn't. Tony Erdman's one of the best films of the year. Doesn't matter what language you speak. And it's actually being remade. It just came out, and it's being remade, an American version, starring Jack Nicholson. And it hasn't even won its award yet.
Instead of just, like, dubbing it over, they're just going to...
they're just going to remake it completely with Jack Nicholson, which is kind of lame.
Yeah, but I guess, like,
Americans don't read.
Yeah.
This is going to sound really, really ignorant here. Like, what is... So, best foreign language film. Like, this film was in a...
It's all different.
It's in German.
All,
yeah, Tony Erdmann's in German.
So, when you watch it, you're just reading the subtitles.
Yeah, I have no problems with subtitles. I think to have the film in its native language brings a lot more to the movie than it's... You know, yeah. They used to dub them, and it used to be just so terrible.
Don't you feel having a read, though, kind of distracts you from the actual picture?
You get into the...
It's like a book with pizzazz.
You get right into it.
Okay.
Yeah. You forget after a while. I don't know. But I haven't seen The Salesman yet, and I haven't seen Land of Mine yet. Well, Land of Mine actually is just being released in the next week or so in a lot of markets in the States, and so that I'll check out here in about a week or so. But and I haven't seen Tana either. So
is there one country that like typically cleans up in this category, is it like just wide open?
It's wide open. I mean, I know there's a lot of good movies coming out of I was gonna say North Korea. I know there's a lot of good movies coming out of South Korea.
Kim
sure, there's some great day. Propaganda films coming out of North Korea that should be nominated. But
How to Cut Your Hair.
How to Blow Up America. Yeah, I would say maybe South Korea's got some really good films. They did a movie called The Handmaiden, which I highly recommend. It should have been nominated for Best Foreign Film, but it wasn't. But if you want to watch a really good foreign film with a little bit of sauciness, like some good scenes of nakedness.
Okay, that's good. Are you looking at me like that? Yeah. What's he talking about?
You know, softcore porn. The Handmaiden has a really good story, though.
Why are you looking at me when you...
And then you'll have to read subtitles, though. So
yeah,
take
it's
right
true.
Out, right?
Subtitles. Yeah.
So, right up above that, too, we got Best Animated Feature.
Yeah, Zootopia.
Wasn't the zucchini one, like, originally shot in French? Could that be up for Best Foreign?
It could have been. Yeah. It could have been. It's an animated film, so they stuck it there. It has no chance of winning. Neither does the Red Turtle, although Red Turtle's really good. Moana, I'm not sure why it's in there. I think it's one of the worst Disney films that they've done in a while.
Really?
I wasn't a fan
Which
of it.
Which one was Moana?
Moana's the one that just
was
came
that
out.
Was that the little Hawaiian girl?
Yeah.
What was that about? Like, what was the deal there?
She goes on an adventure with a demigod played by Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Okay.
And they're trying to... She's trying to save her people. And, yeah,
it is Hawaiian, right?
It's very much the... Yep. It's very much the a princess story like they've done so many times in the past, but this princess doesn't need a man. And she's just going to go on an adventure, and she's her own woman. And, yeah.
Empowering.
Yes, very empowering. That's the word. Good. I didn't like it. But Kubo and Two Strings and Zootopia are the two best animated films of the year. I would love to see Kubo and Two Strings win it because it's done by a production company called Laika Studios. And they're the ones who did like movies like Paranorman and The Box Trolls, where it's like stop motion type of animation. It takes a lot of time and energy to do that. It's a real art, and they do it better than anybody else. And they get nominated every single time they get a film out, and it's always Pixar or Disney who beats them.
Yeah.
The poor bastards. And so again, probably the best film they've ever done, and it's up against Utopia, which is made over $1 billion at the box office for Disney. It's a gigantic film.
Yeah.
It's on Netflix.
Is it now?
Yeah, and it's a movie about diversity. So, you know.
Different animals. And
different
stuff.
Animals. Are all the animals getting along?
Getting along.
Doesn't matter if you're a fox or a bunny.
I
Doesn't
like
matter.
It.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's got social commentary up the wazoo. And it's funny. It's a funny movie. Liked it a lot, but if you have kids, you've probably seen it about 50,000 times, and maybe don't like it as much.
Apparently Sasha has just been
just
force-fed that. Now he ritualistically kills foxes. He's not here to defend himself, so might as well be
that's
true.
That's what happens. It's an alternative fact, and so that's all that matters. So yeah, if you want to make a play here on this, maybe put some money on Kubo, but if you're looking for the safe bet, Zootopia all the way.
I am not looking for the safe bet. I'm going to go with...
Moana.
Yeah.
Moana.
Why not?
Because
I'm empowered.
He's the rock.
Yeah. That guy can't be in a bad movie, right? Yeah. I'm assuming San Andreas was really good.
No.
Darn it.
When you do that many movies, though, in a year, I mean, that guy's a workaholic.
That's true. And he's still, like, wrestling on the side, right? Like, he's...
Well, very part-time.
But anytime they need a real boost.
And to stay, like, that big. Like,
yeah,
physically.
That's true.
Like, he is... Huge.
How old is he?
He's got to be coming up on 40, isn't he? Like,
oh, he's well past 40.
Really?
I think he's going to be close to 50. Look it up.
That's what you're here for.
He's aging.
44 years old.
Damn.
He can smell what he's cooking.
I guess, when did he break into the, at the time it was the WWF, when did he break into that?
It was the 90s.
It was like, because he was with the
mid-90s.
Nation of Domination, right?
But even before that, when he was Rocky Maivia.
Rocky Maivia, whatever.
Yeah, and he came out as this young jerry-curled guy.
Yes.
Mid-90s.
And then he quickly got on with the...
The Attitude Era, and he did the whole heel thing where he had the Nation of Domination shtick going.
Him and Farouk, right?
Farouk, yeah.
See, those are my times.
Those were your days? Like, the Attitude Era?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They were great. You had The Rock battling Stone Cold.
Yeah.
It was great TV.
Okay.
I kind of still thought it was real at that point, so...
Some people who still do. Bless their hearts.
So, man, soap opera.
It is.
Except it's not on during the day. What, I think we'll just do best director and best film. I don't know, is there any other big categories that we missed?
Hair and makeup. Hair and makeup's interesting because, and who knows if it's even on here because it's very obscure.
Yeah.
But it's like, one, it's like such a weird category because there's only three nominations and they're all just really weird films that they're just happy to be nominated for an Oscar. Like Suicide Squad.
What?
Yeah, Suicide Squad's not on my...
So you don't have to be a good
It's not
movie.
A major category.
Yeah.
Yeah, just if you've got great...
Like Suicide Squad, I liked it.
Suicide Squad was terrible.
Why?
Oh, the acting was bad. The writing was the worst part. That's probably why the acting was bad, actually, because the writing, the dialogue was just gross.
I might be easy to please when it comes to
you're probably. There's a lot of those people. They're the Fast and Furious people.
No,
Fast and Furious movies.
I gave up after the
All
first.
Of them.
I gave up after the first.
Yeah. But,
Tokyo Drift didn't bring you back.
No.
I don't even know.
It's a lot of order,
I don't
too.
Know what they're still called anymore. They're doing another one, aren't they?
Yeah. They still number
final? Isn't it supposed to be the final one now?
I thought Furious 7 was supposed to be the final one.
I think they just
and now
say
they're just
this
doing
is be the
yeah.
final.
Whatever, then they
you better come see it.
Whatever Vin Diesel wants to do.
Exactly.
Best director?
Best director, yeah. Why is this one so skewed when, like, best picture? Because this kind of feels like a... If you directed the film the best, shouldn't your film be the best?
Seems it's like a coach of the year.
Yeah, a little. If they also subjectively picked best team of the year, it's Pittsburgh.
I don't Tigers know, because, you know, if you're going to talk about sports, a lot of times the best coach isn't necessarily coaching the team with the best record. They just, like, for instance, you know, it's a lot of times it's the coach who's been able to take a team that's sucked for so long and all of a sudden they went on, you know, like the Columbus Blue Jackets in hockey.
Yeah, John Tortorella's going to win it. Yeah, that's true.
So it's, you know, I know best director and usually a lot of times when the best for best director, usually the movie wins for best picture. More times than not, I would think. I'm just going off the top of my head, but usually is the way. But best director, Damien Chazelle for La La Land probably is going to win. Although I don't understand why Denis Villeneuve on the sportbook that we're looking at is such a huge underdog for Arrival. I thought Arrival was one of the best sci-fi films I've seen in a long time. Aliens come and visit Earth. They don't blow up the White House. It's not one of those ones. It's a very, you know, thinking man's film or woman. And Denis Villeneuve, I think, should be getting a little bit more love. But for best director, I really think it's going to be Damien Chazelle and maybe Barry Jenkins in Moonlight.
So as Eric was saying, how do you differentiate, though, between, like, best picture and best director? Like, you said most of the time you would assume it is, but, like, you're watching a film, how do you know? To say the best director, don't you have to, like, see a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff?
And how the film is constructed, how it's put together.
Right.
I mean, there's so many things that go into it. You have the cinematography, which is done by a DP or a cinematographer, who the director is responsible for, you know, working with, but also hiring for the film. And then the editing and how the whole film comes together. That's kind of what they look at those different elements. And then they'll pick best director from that. There's a lot of technical stuff, as you said, that happens behind the scenes that maybe a lot of people don't know. But you can. But
so
if you've got a good eye for things like that,
voting knows.
Yeah, if you've got a good eye for things like that, and you've done some reading as well, then you can get a good idea.
So if you hear a guy's like Kubricking the crap out of people and just like driving them mad, does he just wins because he cares about his craft?
yeah. I think Damien Chazelle is the favorite just because the film La La Land was kind of very original for its time. Because it takes, you know, the musicals of the 40s and 50s, like Singing in the Rain and things like that, and puts it into a more of a modern time with jazz and singing and dancing, but it also tells a very real story.
So it's like Pitch Perfect 3? but like better.
Yeah, yeah, also, definitely better.
Also, I've seen both Pitch Perfect movies, so I got that going for me.
Why?
I don't know. They're on TV, man. That's another thing.
See, that's the thing. You do watch TV and movies. You just watch crappy ones.
Well, yeah, these things got to be on friggin' Sunday afternoon on TLC or whatever channels I'm getting a free preview of at that moment.
But yeah, Damon Chazelle is probably the one to win it.
Okay.
And Mel Gibson, though, is on
there. That Mel Gibson?
Yes.
Oh, man.
The one who didn't like Jewish people for a while there. Well, he was going through his drinking too much phase. Apparently, he's cleaned up his life. Hacksaw Ridge, good Christian film with a lot of violence. That's what it is. It's a faith-based movie with a crap ton of violence.
Is it? So it's like, it's war, right? It's like
World War II.
Is it based on a real thing?
True story.
Haven't we covered like every battle in World War II by now?
No, but this is about a sword.
That's how I felt about OJ. So maybe maybe they started asking people who were.
Well, this is Hacksaw Ridge is about a conscientious objector to the war. So he's a soldier who wanted to join because in World War II, most men wanted to jump on the ship and go fight the Nazis. Very, very proud time back then, flag waving. And but he decided he was going to go and fight the war without using any weapons or killing anybody. So he worked as a medic, and he refused to carry a gun. But he saved a whole bunch of people.
With a hacksaw?
No, that's just the ridge that they fought on. They had to climb up a cliff and fight the Japanese, not the Nazis in this one. But it was World War II. Yeah.
I don't know how you save lives with a hacksaw. That'd be interesting.
Well, I don't know, back when you just like amputated everything, you're like, oh, you got chlamydia? Amputated.
That sounds awful.
I wasn't a doctor back then, but it sure seems a lot easier than like prescribing things and waiting 6 months.
Yeah, so Hacksaw Ridge got a lot of play. It was an okay movie. And, Mel Gibson's nice to see him at least back in the Hollywood realm. People are starting to forgive him for hating pretty much 90% of the people in Hollywood.
And most of the voting.
Yeah, the people who were voting for this, yeah. So.
What did he do that was so... Because, the only reason I know about his feud with Jewish is South Park.
Oh.
That's where you got... Well, he's been caught on tape. He got pulled over for drinking and driving, and he got, pulled over, and the police officer asked to see some ID, and he just went on this huge anti-Semitic rant. I got caught on tape, and it just went viral. He was absolutely hammered, and then he's also had phone conversations that have gone viral, because people record the stuff that he says, like with his ex-wife and things like that, and he just says said a lot of gross and disgusting things while in a drunken stupor. He's gotten help for that since, and so he says he was a different person then. Well, hey, we all live and learn. But, he's a very talented man, so I knew eventually he was going to... if Roman Polanski, can still get nominated, so can Mel Gibson.
Hey, I'm not saying he should.
I'm just saying, that's Hollywood. Yeah.
And I'm in no way supporting Polanski.
No, I'm just saying, if guys like him can make it back into the fold, so can Mel. Yeah.
I mean, an anti-Semite, that's not what women want. You get that Mel Gibson reference to a very old movie?
Yeah, actually. See, you had to say it,
I just want to...
I do remember that Mel Gibson movie.
I watch movies that are on TV. I know what's up. I can make outdated references. So, this is... Are we... Damien Chazelle?
Yeah, I'd go with him. But, if you're wanting to actually make money off this one... Then Barry Jenkins and Moonlight, I think, is a good bet.
So, we talked. What's Moonlight about?
That's the one where three part
guy
of age.
Okay.
All right. So the finale, the one everybody cares about. So they leave it till there's only 2 minutes left, and then they don't have enough time to
and they rush it. Yeah.
So it's how many films can get nominated? Is there a cap?
Usually 8 or 9. Yeah.
We got 9 this year.
No. All worthy. Well, maybe except for Fences.
We'll go in reverse order. We got Cowboy Jeff Bridges is the longest odds at this bookmaker. Then Arrival. Then Mel Gibson's Hacksaw Ridge. Lion and Fences are both equally long shots. Manchester by the Sea. Hidden Figures, which we have not talked about at all, is the third favorite. And then Moonlight and La La Land. So, what is Hidden Figures? Where the hell did that come from?
That's actually one of the films I hadn't seen, but it's about they hired back in the early days of NASA, and they're trying to get to the moon landing, or trying to get to space. And they hired these mathematicians who happen to be, all three of them happen to be black women. And they're, you know, how hard it was for them to work in a white male dominated, you know, industry. But they were pretty much the three of the most smartest people in the room. And they're both, all three of them were African American. So, yeah, the diversity thing comes into play here. Okay movie from what I heard. Probably doesn't need to be nominated for Best Picture, though.
Doesn't feel like there's a long history of space movies doing well at the Oscars.
Interstellar did all right.
Did it win the big one, though?
I think so. It won one of the big ones. Either Best Director or Best Picture, if I remember correctly. But, yeah, not a lot of space films this year. Like, real space movies. Arrival. Well, there you go. Arrival's really the only sci-fi. I would think Arrival has a better chance of winning than, say, you know, Hidden Figures or even Fences. But really, this is going to be between La La Land and Moonlight, in my opinion. Maybe Manchester by the Sea's got a chance. But if I was a betting man, I'd put money on Moonlight. If I just wanted to go with the obvious choice, La La Land, because it's been nominated for pretty much every single award, so you're going to hit a couple times with that one. You know, the over-under on it, how many awards it win, probably 7.
I guess the thing is, everybody's mad. It's a movie about Hollywood. How Hollywood to give, like, all these awards.
To two white people.
Yeah.
Dancing and singing on screen about their Hollywood dreams. Yeah, then it's got some backlash. It's a great movie. I love the movie, to be honest. I think I'm just tired of hearing about it all the time. That's, when you get to this point of the year, you get tired of hearing about these movies.
It's like the Patriots.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, it's exactly. La La Land is the Patriots of the Oscars this year. It's like, God, yes, we know you're going to win, okay?
We hate you.
Just hurry up and do it. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't make it look like Moonlight's really far ahead.
Don't give Atlanta a shot.
Yeah, Atlanta, that's good, yeah. Yeah, so it, honestly, yeah, I'd put some money on Moonlight, maybe even Arrival. I honestly think Arrival has a chance. I'm looking at this book here and I'm thinking, really, I would just put $5 on Arrival and see what you get out of that, because I think that has a way better chance than what it's saying here.
What's your take, Matt? You've seen
none.
You saw 13th.
I saw 13th.
Disappointingly not up for any.
I can't believe. I think I would go. I'd sprinkle a little down on Manchester by the Sea. Really, really go for the money here.
Who won last year? Wasn't it something really, like, obscure?
Well, there was The Revenant.
But that didn't win, right? It's in something else.
DiCaprio won for Best Actor. I believe the director won as well. I'd have to double check
who won for Best Picture
again.
Spotlight.
Spotlight. There we go.
Was that a thing?
That was with Michael Keaton. That was the movie about the Boston reporters who uncovered all the Catholics, priests who were getting it on with the children.
So we couldn't have two movies 2 years in a row, both ending in light, win. That would be very confusing.
Or do you have two movies in a row that are about Boston?
Ah, that's true, too.
Manchester by the Sea, you got to take out of there now.
It's Title Town, though.
If you throw in all the Oscars, Boston's got like 20.
Yeah.
Spoiled.
See, again, Patriots come into play there. The Red Sox. Yeah. I don't know. Eric, if you were putting money down, what would you do? If just on a hunch.
I'm going to go Hidden Figures because it snuck up on me. It's just like...
No one's talking about it.
Yeah.
Just hidden.
Exactly. And by all accounts, it's a story about diversity and overcoming discrimination.
Quick, help me here, Trevor.
Yeah. And space. All things that people care about.
Yeah, they're like the Minnesota Wild of, you know.
So that
good. No one really is talking about them. Could surprise you in the playoffs.
Might be their year.
Yeah.
Probably won't be. But hey, there's always that sucker that bets on them, right?
And yeah.
I guess I'll be that one. Yeah. I don't know. I am going to bet on these eventually. Maybe wait till the odds go up.
Yeah. And then you'll actually watch it too?
That's the fun part.
That's the,
I mean, if you're going to bet, you got to watch it.
What you do is you PVR it, though.
Yeah.
And you watch it, and then you fast forward all the crap.
Yeah. Because there's a...
You just got to stay off social media then, though, right? Well, just as long as you're not following anyone.
You always get people that come out of the wood. You're like, Michael Grange? Really?
Yeah.
Really into the...
Trauma Raptors. why do you care the Manchester about the C1?
So, I think I'll just suck it up and get really drunk and see what happens.
It's a Sunday night, right?
Yeah, and it's still a tradition, even if there's no football, to just be hammered on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Are we going to do our usual peter out where we have no real conclusion? Or?
Is there anything to conclude here?
Well, I guess we'll do this then.
If you really want
what's the best bet,
I would take everything that Trevor said.
Oh, 100%. We'll put all his picks. We'll throw all our picks up, like how we did with the podcast before.
That's going to be a bad idea.
But then we can check back. And if I get any right, I'm going to be bragging.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I'm a cinephile now.
When Manchester by the Sea wins Best Picture.
I am curious, though, I guess, what is the best movie you saw in the last year? If you...
Ooh.
Well, ask all of us, but, like, I'm curious for Matt's answer, especially, because he hasn't seen any of these good movies, so, like...
I'm not 13th!
Yeah, what is your favorite movie this year that you've seen, or last year?
Well, that's what I'm saying, like, I don't know if I've seen that many new movies. Like, I gotta go, like, I was on a flight and watched... So, like I said, I saw Suicide Squad. I didn't mind that, like, I thought that was a decent movie. I saw Deadpool. I really like Deadpool.
Yeah, Deadpool's great. Yeah.
I thought that was a really good movie. I saw Captain America: Civil War.
Oh yeah, I saw that on a plane.
I like that.
No, like, that's a good comic book movie.
Yeah, I really liked that. The Jungle Book, I thought was... I actually fell asleep for the last 20 minutes of it.
So does that mean it's good?
No, I literally had taken sleeping like aid on the plane, and like it just really kicked in at that point. And I just haven't had a chance to go back and watch the last 20 minutes. What else here? I saw Batman vs. Superman.
Terrible.
Like, even for me, that was one that I was like, come on.
I know. I thought for a second there you were going to say you liked it. I'm like, oh, God.
I didn't hate it. I'll definitely say that.
Oh, Jesus.
I also saw that movie on a flight as well, The Secret Life of Pets, and I was actually quite disappointed.
You're disappointed in a movie called Secret Life of Pets?
I just thought it'd be like, I thought it'd be a lot better, you know? Like, a lot of those, like a lot of those animated films, like...
That's true, they're sneaky good.
Yeah, like yeah. Something like Zootopia, where it's like, it's got a lot of, you know, underlying context and stuff, right? Where like, I don't know, maybe I missed it, but...
Yeah, it was so layered that you just missed
there's really no social commentary to Secret Life of Pets.
No, I didn't, you know, so...
Dogs take dumps and... Yeah, someone has to pick it up.
I've been trying to get back into the horror flicks.
Okay.
I'm a horror.
All those remakes doing it for you?
Yeah, I guess. I'm trying to think of the last one I saw now. Probably.
Did you see All Girls Ghostbusters? And did it ruin your childhood?
I was gonna bring that up. I haven't seen that. I didn't see that one. But I know, a lot of people were. One that people were like afraid to slam. But like,
it does not ruin your childhood, because if your childhood hinges on a one movie,
then you would have your childhood would have been over after Ghostbusters 2 then, because that movie was crappy.
Yeah, no, it was fine. Yeah, I didn't see much of anything.
No, like I'm just looking at all these right now.
Well, you're a documentary guy, aren't you? You like your docs, so fun.
Yeah. It's true. When a story's rooted in fact and like good. Yeah.
I like that. Yeah.
Because life is stranger than fiction. Look at life right now. Very weird.
Strange.
Very odd.
I didn't see the Star Wars Rogue One.
No, I didn't see
it. I know you were crazy about that, weren't you?
Oh, I liked it. Yeah. That was in my top 10. It wasn't my favorite movie of the year, but it was in my top 10. It's a good fun movie.
So your own favorite movie of the year was?
It was either Hell or High Water or La La Land. Yeah.
Really? So you actually enjoy the good movies.
Yes, I actually enjoy the really good movies. Unlike Suicide Squad, I felt like that was a mess. Yeah, man. I mean, The Lobster, which actually is nominated for a film for Best Original Screenplay, that's a really weird movie.
I saw that on Netflix. Film, what's that about? Like, you get to pick
your partner. You
have to pick your partner by a certain age or something, or else you turn into a...
And you turn into your spirit animal.
Into your spirit animal, and the one dude picks a lobster or something?
Yeah. Yeah. He
picks to marry a lobster? Or
no, he has to... He goes away, and they match people up.
Yeah.
And you either, you find a match, or you eventually get... if you break the rules or do anything wrong, they send you out into the woods, and you turn into your spirit animal, I believe. And it's one of those movies you have to watch late in the evening.
You pick your spirit animal, don't you?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You turn into your spirit animal or whatever. Lobster was his choice.
I debated putting it on just because how weird it sounded. then I was like, why waste your time?
I need to be really hot.
You could just watch Happy Gilmore again.
Classy Arby. All right, we've hammered out a lot of movies. Watch them all. Get through your football off season.
Sundays. Exactly. I don't know what to do yet.
Yeah. Watch The Lobster. Roll yeah. a joint.
There's more. There's more props coming for the Oscars on Sports Betting Dime.
Right on.
So there's more. There's other things you can bet on, not just films. You could bet on things like, you know,
what people are gonna wear.
How many times someone's gonna mention Trump?
Oh God. What's the over gonna be?
I don't know. I mean, Jimmy Kimmel's hosting it, so could be in the very first 30 seconds.
Well, they're all trying to at least do it somewhat subtly now. Like, hey, Lady Gaga's was pretty good. Like,
don't remember.
Well, opening with This Land Is Our Land.
Oh,
yeah. It was pretty subtle. Like, she never said Trump.
Maybe it wasn't subtle. Maybe she just really likes the song.
Yeah.
Maybe we're all searching for meaning in the wrong spots. We're
getting catch in the rye.
We're getting real deep right now. We should end this. It's getting weird. Yeah. So good luck with your Oscar picks, everybody. Thank you, Trevor.
Thanks for coming. Thanks for having me in your little man cave.
I don't know when we'll be back doing stuff again, but
I'm gonna say go for it, guys.
Yeah, it's a weird tradition. I mean, you kind of have to.
Yeah.
Just say it.
Go for it, guys.
Bye.